Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic.
Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. I've got my husband on the podcast today, which is awesome. I'm super excited to chat with him, do a quick little interview, because we are talking all about desserts on today's podcast episode. We're coming in like heavy into dessert season, or candy season, as I like to call it. We're talking October through at least Valentine's Day. We're looking at a lot of candy, sweets, desserts, treats, all the things coming into the home over the holidays. And I thought it'd be good to have my husband on. So you want to say hey?
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh. I'm the other half.
That's right. So we've been married for about 15 years. We have three kids together, and he's been through it. So, you know, I thought it would be really good to have him on the podcast and kind of interview him, because he has been the one that gets like the closest view of my methodology on display when it comes to sweets, treats, desserts, all of the things. And I know what I teach typically to parents is kind of counterintuitive, a little bit scary, a little bit uncomfortable. But the goal is really to get your kids to be kind of normal around treats and candy. I know so many parents who have kids who, when they see the cake at birthday parties, they see candy at Halloween, they just cannot stop looking at it. They can't even have like normal conversations. They want more. They can't stop asking for more. A lot of times people will see me on like social media and I'll kind of say something to the effect of, you know, when you're serving candy to your kid, you should be putting it on the plate alongside other foods. And the number one thing I get back is, no, that's all they would eat. Like, that's all they would eat. They wouldn't stop. They'd keep begging me for more. And so I wanted to break down kind of my methodology on this podcast, but also talk to you a little bit about how it goes in our home. So let's back it up a little bit. We have our oldest child was really the reason why I got into reversing picky eating, because he ate everything as a baby. And then he became picky around 2.5. And that's when I kind of took a right turn in my career. I was always a dietitian and I did work with kids, but not in the capacity of reversing picky eating at all. I really thought I had picky eating nailed. I was like, oh, this will be easy. Our baby ate everything. I thought we were like in the clear. And then sure enough, he started eating only bread. And then eventually we got him to bread and fruit, but that was it. And I was getting worried. I know you were getting worried. We were kind of getting frustrated. So do you remember those days? What do you remember about that period? It was a while ago, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, it was a while ago. But I would say it was very much like you kind of revert to kind of what your parents did when you were a kid. And I would say like that's where I was just like, one more bite, or you know, trying to kind of negotiate every single mealtime with our son. So yeah.
And then I kind of started to take over and was like, we got to do something different. Like, I remember just feeling like, oh my gosh, something's got to change. I felt so crazy about it, where I was so worried about what he was eating, what he wasn't eating. And like Josh said, we really fell into the same traps and tactics that a lot of parents do, because we love him and want what's best for him. And I think one of the biggest ones that I fell into, I know you did too, but I know a lot of listeners do as well, is bribing them with desserts. So it would be something to the effect of, hey, finish your plate and then we can have ice cream for dessert. Yeah. Right? Do you remember doing that? And you grew up eating a lot of ice cream, didn't you?
We did. Yeah.
Like every night? Or tell us about what you did. Growing up with desserts and sweets and treats.
My parents, we had ice cream in the freezer, and I wouldn't say it was every night, but it was a lot of nights that there was ice cream after our meal. I don't know why, but it's just like that was a very typical thing. And it was used as a leverage point, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah, so really easy to just kind of do what your parents did with you, what you see other parents doing. And honestly, it works, right? Like at the beginning, when your kid isn't eating and you say, hey, finish your plate and then you can have ice cream, they want the ice cream. So they're like, heck yeah, like I'll finish my plate. Yep. And then it slowly kind of deteriorates. We kind of talk about this a lot, but it's essentially like you go from, hey, finish your plate, then you can have a bowl of ice cream, to, hey, take three bites, then you can have a bowl of ice cream. Hey, you know, take one bite and now you can have the entire pint of ice cream. It starts to kind of like build and build. And what a lot of parents don't realize that they're doing in the moment, because you're like trying to win that night, you're just like focused on dinner that night, you're worried about it, but we don't realize is you're really setting them up for being obsessed with desserts. And so the methodology that I started to implement first in my home before I taught it to other people was to start allowing desserts, sweets, and treats maybe more often than you would think, and putting them on the plate with meals. And do you remember kind of like how that made you feel? Or do you remember when I started doing that? Like, what do you remember from that time? Again, it's a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that looks so odd because, yeah, I thought, well, they're just going to want more of the sweet treat that's on the plate. That's all they're going to eat, and they're going to walk away, or they're going to ask for more, and then we're going to turn into another meltdown over something totally different that shouldn't be a meltdown, you know?
Yeah, just more battles.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is just setting us up for failure.
Right.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about, you can use specifics if you want. I'm thinking of just the other night we had puppy chow. If you guys don't, Muddy Buddies, Puppy Chow, whatever people call it, but it's essentially like Chex cereal covered in powdered sugar, butter,
peanut butter,
chocolate, all the things. It's delicious. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what you experienced watching that go down? Like what happened the other night when we gave them Muddy Buddies or Puppy Chow?
So we gave them all bowls of Puppy Chow. It was like just kind of like a special treat for that night. And honestly, our daughter brought it back and she was just like, I'm done. I don't really want any more for my belly. Like I think she specifically said, like, I don't want this for my belly, or my belly's kind of hurting. So I'm all done. And so she gave us the bowl back. And
yeah, then, she said, like, if I eat any more, my belly's going to hurt.
Yeah. And then our youngest.
I mean, what do you think? Like half eaten, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, they probably each had like maybe a cup of it in there, and she probably ate half.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then same with our youngest. He, you know, had some, but he didn't finish it at all. And later, he's the one that where you find like random plates and bowls all around the house. So. Later we found that bowl somewhere, but it was again like maybe half full still. So
yeah. And our oldest, he probably ate the most, maybe three quarters. He did end up, this is actually really sweet, but he did end up spilling his on accident, and then his sister offered to fill his bowl back up with hers. Anyways, it was a really sweet moment just as like a parent, but at the same time he also, like, we gave him more, we threw away the stuff that had fallen on the floor and gave him more, and he just ended up not eating it. So we had three kids, all of them leaving close to half, if not half, of their Muddy Buddies after giving it to them. And I think a lot of parents might be hearing this and be like, oh, my kid would never do that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to those people?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought too. I thought this doesn't make any sense. There's no way that if we put dessert on a plate or whatever that is, some type of candy, that the kids aren't going to finish that. And what has happened is we've kind of taken away the power of those things to where our kids don't feel like it's a unique thing. It's something that's just more. That's there, and it'll still be there, type of thing.
Yeah, we're actually in a cool routine right now. And this has not been the case for us, but we're in a cool routine right now. We make a homemade, like, dessert type thing once a week. We do this like family meeting. Anyways, we can do another episode on that because that's been a really cool thing that we have added to our family. But this has been like a really good rhythm to get into, to have these sweets and desserts in the house. Yeah. What I really want parents to understand is, I understand the desire in the moment to get them to eat the broccoli, to finish their plate, to try something new, and using a dessert of some kind or like a leverage of something sweet that you know that they want to get them to eat that other food that they don't necessarily want or aren't interested in can feel so tempting. But what that's doing is really creating a hierarchy of dessert is coveted, wanted, desired, asked for, upset. Like they start to get obsessed over it.
Yeah.
And we're actually building in that obsession without knowing it. Like a lot of parents aren't thinking that way, but that's what's actually happening. So you're lowering the view of broccoli, of new food, of trying something new, and you're using it as this bribe. And I totally get why you do it. We did it. We fell into the same trap. I understand why it's done. And at the same time, you're creating the very result that you don't want. And right. So well, in the moment, it can feel like a win. I've been saying this lately. It's like, well, you're winning the battle, but you're losing the war.
Yeah.
And what I want a lot of parents to do is zoom out and think, like, I know if you're in the thick of it right now with like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, you may not even, like, you know that one day they're going to turn 10, one day they're going to be teenagers, one day they're going to move out, one day they're going to go to college or whatever it might be. But like, you're not thinking of that tonight. You're just like, just eat the dang broccoli so that you can get into college, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you really want to set them up for success long term. You're not always going to be there. And I think now, especially with our son, the age that he is, we're like, wow, like now he's going to school. He's around friends a lot. He's around us far less than he was as a toddler. Yeah. And so you have less control. You have less input. You need to be able to prepare them to know what to do when they're presented with sweets, treats, desserts at someone else's house or at a birthday party or at school or, you know, one day when he even gets older and we're not around all the time. He has his own money. He can go to the grocery store and buy whatever he wants. He can, you know, whatever that might be. So I think setting them up with loving limits, we're not saying like unlimited candy all of the time whenever they want it, but with loving limits is really a way to set them up for success. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a lot about, you know, moderation and letting your kid kind of have the freedom to explore, but also, you know, within those safe boundaries. Because, yeah, I think, you know, ultimately they're not going to be in your house forever. And so you want them to grow up and make wise decisions and the right choices. So.
Yeah. And I think back to one of our earliest experiences with my son. I don't know if you remember this because I was alone, but we were driving up to a nearby lake and I let him order like a strawberry lemonade. Yeah, type thing off a Starbucks menu. And it was like pretty high sugar. He had chosen not to eat his lunch. That's his choice. And then I let him order this and we had other snacks and stuff in the car, but he pretty much just drank this. And we went up driving and it was a windy road and he got car sick. And this is like the most painful lesson that, well, not the most, but one of the most painful lessons as a parent to like watch him experience. And in that moment, it's like, no, I didn't want this to happen. No, I don't want to be cleaning throw up on the side of a road where people are going 90 miles an hour. Like, this is such a painful experience, but more for him than for me. And it was really good learning experience. He still, to this day, and how old do you think he was? 3, 4?
Yeah, maybe like 4. Yeah,
maybe just turned 4 because it was camping. So it would have been maybe right before he turned 4 because our daughter was a baby. So maybe right before he turned 4. He still to this day knows his limits on his belly. So it's like one bad experience can be enough to teach our kids. And I think that's really important for parents to understand is you cannot protect them from everything. You cannot keep them from those learning experiences. And in fact, you want to use those learning experiences to teach them how to listen to their body, how to clue in. And that's really where we see it in our daughter. She's really good at saying, this is how my belly feels. I'm done. You know, I know if I keep eating this, it's going to make my belly hurt. She's really good at articulating that.
Yeah, I think it's very important to let them learn these lessons at such a young age where it's very low stakes. Where they can learn that lesson, they can take it with them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, it's if they make that mistake while they're young, it's not very costly, but they get to live with that, or they get to learn from that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do the same thing. Yeah. Like, there are still times where I skip dinner when I shouldn't have, or we skip lunch more often than not, when we shouldn't have. And then we get cranky and hangry and frustrated, or we'll eat too many sweets. Like, we're still learning those lessons. And so giving our kids the skills and the conversation, or rather the language to explain what they're experiencing inside their body is really helpful. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just really cool to get like an upfront first row seat to the methods that we've done. Have there been times where you've questioned it? You're like, this is not a good idea. Like, this is, what are we doing? Why are we letting them have more than 2 pieces of Halloween candy on Halloween night?
I mean, always. It just goes
still
against,
even to this moment,
yeah, it
to
goes
this
against
day.
The nature of, like, I don't know, being a dad. You're just like, you can't eat that much candy. Like, that's, what are you doing? Like, ah. So, yeah, no, it's always a yeah, it's always a bit of like a learning experience for myself.
That's so funny. So it's still like something you have to undo.
Yes, 100%. I think, yeah, it's still something that I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is quite right. But at the end of the day, I do see the long-term result paying off. So
keep going.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, you were the one that I remember, our daughter with the puppy chow the other day. She walks up, put the bowl on the counter, and you kind of looked at me like, what? And you like point into it?
Yeah.
Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine not finishing my puppy chow, which you had already finished.
I finished mine. It was delicious.
It's so interesting because it does really go against a lot of what we were taught. So do you know, can you like tap into like, what's the fear? Like, what's the fear of like, okay, we gave them a cup of puppy chow. What came up for you?
Oh man, that's a really good question. I think, you know, it's a lot of like, oh, I don't want them to be unhealthy or mm-hmm. have too much sugar mm-hmm. or I think that's probably the biggest one. And then secondarily, it's like, I hope that like they don't get sick and throw up tonight and then I got to clean that up, you know, like.
Oh yeah, for
that's
sure.
The other word, worst. So yeah.
Exactly, like cleaning up throw up on the side of the highway yeah. on the way to the mountains. Yeah. I think that's very true. I think a lot of parents, especially parents of picky eaters, and I can relate to this, and I remember this when we were reversing our son's picky eating, was like, wait, but if I introduce him to this food, he's going to be obsessed with this food, and then he's not going to eat healthy mm-hmm. foods that he's eating. So like, I had this like mentality that if he got exposed to something like gummy fruit, gummies, what are those called? Fruit snacks. Like fruit snacks. I remember being very like apprehensive about giving him any fruit snacks or letting him see fruit snacks in his like friends' lunch boxes or at play dates mm-hmm. because I was so afraid that if he ate those, then he would stop eating like dried fruit or he would stop eating regular fruit and he would just prefer those. Or so that came up for me a lot. I remember just being like really afraid, like, oh man, if we give them too many sweets or too many desserts or let them experience kind of these other foods that aren't necessarily healthy and really shouldn't be given all of the time. It's just not ideal for kids to have really highly processed, highly sugar foods. But I was so afraid that that would kind of like be their new preferences. And that's way, I mean, truly, it's way harder if you have a kid who is obsessed with sweets and desserts and treats to get them from those foods to like grilled chicken. Like, it's like, feels like a huge jump. Like it feels like a cavern of just like, I'm never going to get there. And so I was really afraid to introduce those foods. Meanwhile, and I remember we had this experience a few years ago where we were really restrictive about certain foods. And when we like opened up to like letting them experience those foods, it became like super fun. And it was like, oh, actually we can go get ice cream as a family. And, you know, at night after dinner, or we can have puppy chow on a Sunday during our family meeting, or yeah. it becomes these more like traditional, like fun memories that you're building with your kid instead of these like fears that are on repeat on your brain. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
What do you mean?
A few years ago when we like, I don't know, we got like way more loose around desserts, especially at night, because we were like really adamant about like, if we're going to have sweets or something, it should be lunchtime. And I still generally think that's a good idea, but, we just were more strict about like desserts after dinner or with dinner because we were in like the throes of sleep issues. Yeah. So we were like, okay, we're going to pull way back on this. And then we kind of like flipped back and we were like, hey, what would this look like to start getting ice cream as a family? And he, like I said, he grew up having ice cream like almost every night, not out, usually just like the freezer.
Yeah, home. Yeah.
But still, you know, just more of those like family memories to like eat those foods. And I had certain traditions, like every fall we'd make like carameled apples, or like every once in a while we'd have root beer floats or something like that. So, you know, food is cultural. Food is like pretty much like the core of our traditions as mm-hmm. Americans typically, and definitely in our family. But so do you remember that kind of like being more loose around that and the joy that that brought back into our family?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's kind of fun to make those traditions with your family. And I think that they are important to allow those things. And yeah, I mean, since we've done it, it has brought a lot more joy. It's brought a lot more like excitement when we do have those things, which is not honestly that often.
Yeah,
it's honestly pretty rare. But when we do it, it's like, oh man, we're gonna go get ice cream. Like, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and it makes it special.
Simple, yeah. It could be as simple as like McDonald's cone or like fancy ice cream. Like, it's fun no matter where it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like, the specialness of it isn't necessarily the food, right? It's like loosening up, it's having fun. So we've also had nights where we go out and you've like gone to go play board games with our kids or go to batting cages or top golf or something like that. It doesn't have to be a food, but I think it's just like this idea of like, I remember when we were in the throes of picky eating, when we were reversing picky eating, it just felt like everything was so calculated and everything is so like restricted and calculated and follow the plan and don't introduce those foods. And oh my gosh, what if that's all he eats? And it just was like taking up all this mind space that we just didn't have anymore. And we were able to like release. And I think that is key, where you need both. It's like you can relax and have more fun and form those family memories and traditions around food, maybe food that you don't, you know, necessarily want them eating all the time. But you really also need those foundations to keep your kids eating more foods and having a healthy variety of foods and being open to trying new foods, and having those two things at the same time really brings so much peace.
Yeah, and I think you need to have a plan around it, right? It's not like you just kind of look into fixing that.
Right.
I think it does take intentionality with both those things. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so something really exciting that we're doing for the very first time is, you already know this, I think, but inside my community, I'm running a Desserts Without Drama workshop. I've never done this before. It's going to be completely live. We're going to be taking questions and, you know, getting people who have specific fears that they're afraid of or specific examples that they've struggled with, or if they've tried to do this, you know, what are they going to do? Anyways, the reason why I say this, it is, if you are in the community, completely free. Okay, it's completely free for you. But if you're not in the community yet and you know that you need this, we are actually opening the doors for the very first time, never done this before, to have you and invite you to come with us and come experience this workshop. So this will truly be my step-by-step guide of how you get your kid to stop being obsessed with desserts, how you talk to them about sweets, what your plan should be at home, different scripts that you might use to get your kid to leave half their puppy chow on the counter when they're done. And so I'm teaching it all in the workshop and you're invited to come. So I'm going to link the link down below for you to grab a ticket to this workshop. Again, never done this before. Don't know if we'll ever do it again. I do know that this is going to be the lowest price ever offered for this workshop specifically. So if you want in, I highly recommend to click that link and check it out. And I'm really excited about it.
Should be pretty cool.
That's right. Should be pretty cool. I think something else that I've been working on to put in there as well are some of our favorite recipes to make at home that are homemade and lower sugar and still desserts and things that you can kind of relax around. And I'm going to be sharing some of the fun traditions that we do and foods and how we talk about it with our kids and how we teach them how to listen to their body and all those sorts of things that are really important. I know a lot of parents worry about things like neurodivergence and, well, my kid has ADHD and this just simply won't work for them. We're going to be touching on that as well because it's a big topic and it's important. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to link that down below. Any closing thoughts on this desserts topic as Halloween comes rolling around?
I think trust the process and have a plan and have it worked out with, you know, your spouse. And I think overall it works. It's surprising, but it works.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. And I think, you know, the best kind of like eye-opener for me that it works is that what you're doing now isn't working. So if you have a kid who's obsessed with sweets, sugar, dessert, always asking for more, if you imagine what it would be like to put a cookie on their plate with dinner and all they eat is the cookie and they ask for more cookie and they just whine about it until they go to bed, what you're doing right now isn't working. So why not try something different? Why not try something new, even if it is counterintuitive? And like you said, trust the process. Why not do that? If it's not working where you're at now, you have to do something different if you want a different result.
Yeah.
So, and it's just, you know, it's interesting because I will say every time I talk about sugar, every time I talk about desserts and how we handle it in childhood, I get people DMing me all of the time saying, oh my gosh, my parents did X, Y, Z, and now I have the biggest sweet tooth. I'm so obsessed with sweets. I can't stop myself. I can't listen to my body. All I would eat, if you gave me permission to eat whatever I want, all I would eat is sweets and desserts or junk food. This same principle applies to like quote unquote junk food. Yeah. Like unhealthy food that your kids are going to be exposed to and going to have access to. And I get this all the time from parents and adults who say, man, if my parents would have handled desserts like you're teaching as a kid, maybe I wouldn't be a binge eater. Maybe I wouldn't be struggling with, you know, my exorbitant sweet tooth. Maybe I wouldn't be, you know, addicted to sugar, all those sorts of things. And I think that's really important to recognize now what are those threads that you, how you were raised with desserts and sweets and treats? How were they talked about? How were they treated in your home? Did you have to earn them? Did you get punished for eating them or sneaking them? All of these things are really through lines to how we respond to those things as adults. And so I really think setting your kid up for success now is going to be so, so beneficial. So again, I want to plug the workshop one more time because I'm super excited for it. I know it's going to be just so worth your time and energy to come and learn that step-by-step process to stop your kids from being obsessed with sugar. So I hope to see you there. I'm going to click or drop that link down in the description box and you can go ahead and join us. If you're watching this after the fact, there should be a way for you to get your hands on that workshop that we will make sure to link as well. But of course, it is free if you are inside my community for my Picky Eating Reversal course. If you're in the community, it's free for you. So make sure to come hang out with us next week for that workshop.
It's going to be spooktacular.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Spooktacular, ladies and gents. All right, thanks so much for tuning into the podcast, and we will see you next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.